Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda, and I'm with my co-host here, Neil Smith. Hey, Niels.
Hey, Jay. It's good to be with you today and excited for the conversation today.
Yeah, so what we're going to talk about, and this is actually a real serious conversation because we had recently the tragedy in Virginia, the shooting of the two individuals on live TV, and it was such a tragic situation. But there was this kind of this bubbling up, this undertone kind of conversation that happened with autoplay. And if you're not familiar with autoplay, autoplay is when you land on a website or a page and something autoplays, it just the video goes. And a lot of churches use it for their church online kind of platform and interaction, media social, so forth. You kind of, you know, there's a lot of pros to it. The con that a lot of people don't think about, and this is what happened yesterday, was there was this kind of outpour of people that were going to the news websites to kind of see what had happened or on Facebook, and they were kind of forced to watch this live shooting. Now, fortunately, there wasn't any gore. There wasn't a lot seen, but there was like this conversation of like, hey, I didn't want to see that. Like they, and there was actually people tweeting out, and Mashable had an article of like tweets of people like, hey, maybe I didn't want to see that. Why did you have to autoplay that? And then all of a sudden there was like this kind of nationwide kind of debate about autoplay and how like, why are you forcing people to see this content? I should have to choose to play. I was curious, Niels, with your church and different organizations that you've consulted with, what are some pros and cons that you've seen with autoplay?
You know, we were just talking about in the last episode about how autoplay on the Facebook feed captures people's attention so much more with the video. So I would say there's a ton of advantages. And when people go to onlinechurch.com, we use autoplay. You know, we've got Vimeo integrated and it autoplays when they get to the site, and it's a simulated live experience. So when we get that to that site, they're watching church. And a lot of times, anytime you can remove a click from anything, it's advantageous to really get that engagement with video content. So autoplay from a content distribution standpoint has a lot of value. So I understand kind of the pushback and this downside that people are saying, but I would say that from an engagement standpoint, autoplay is going to catch your attention. And I think that the cautiousness that people need to have in this situation, and probably some of the concerns, is people don't realize that there are settings where you maybe don't have to have autoplay on. So like at Online Church, we could have set it where people have to push play when they come to Online Church, but we know that a lot of people, especially guests that haven't clicked an ad, are not going to hit play. They're going to look at everything else on the site, where we believe is the video is the first engagement opportunity that we want to connect people with. It is valuable to us. I get the other side of it, but that's where it has a lot of value from a ministry standpoint, and especially what we're doing with Online Church.
I'm curious if this conversation will almost create a kind of, you know, almost, and it may not be like obviously systematized or like legalized in some way, but are, you know, forced upon, but maybe news organizations will make some kind of rating system. So maybe a certain rating will, you know, you can't autoplay because of, you know, whatever reasons, you know, and definitely there's a pros and cons with, you know, Facebook, you know, just streaming video. Without you even having to tap to play sound, you can just see it auto goes. But there's definitely a lot of things I've seen on Facebook in the last 6 months that maybe I didn't really need to see or want to see, that they just kind of threw in me. And so it's interesting that the conversation happened. It's interesting that that is what bubbled up yesterday outside of everything else, that that's what somebody pinpointed, that like, I didn't want to see that. What's going on with autoplay? I know that there's definitely some websites that I visit that I hate autoplay, but it doesn't impact me going to them. I know, you know, we were talking, you know, being sports fans, I love hoopshypes.com. It's just kind of a sports rumor site, and they filter in all the tweets from writers and different things so you can know all the rumors of trades. But on their rumors page, which is their most popular page, by far, everybody goes to that site for that. They don't go there for the articles. They go there for the rumors. But that's where they have strategically put a video that they do daily. And it autoplays every time I load the site. So if I'm on my mobile phone and I load it up, it literally goes, I go to the rumor site, and then it goes like, you know, landscape to the video. And I hate it. It's a bad user experience. But they're, what they're trying to do is that they have this huge, you know, traffic of you know, because they've got this great filter of rumors, but they're trying to also get subscribers on their video. So yes. I know what they're trying to do, but for me as a user, I just get ticked off. Like, I don't even want to deal with it. So I see pros and cons. We don't use autoplay during the week on our online experience.
Okay.
I think
so they have to push play when they go to your online experience. Interesting. Yeah.
I think the only time where they don't have to push play is that if they land prior to a live experience, it will autoplay. So there's six times a week where it will autoplay. The other times they actually have to press play. But I definitely know that, you know, I was working with somebody recently and we were using Vimeo and I strategically selected autoplay as the embed function. Yeah. So there's no doubt that it's being used. There's pros, but I'm curious if there's going to be some kind of filter or some kind of rating system that news companies, because there's no doubt, you know, that was a negative thing that bubbled up, and it's just I don't understand why that came up, but it's such an interesting conversation.
I'm with you though that it can be obnoxious. So you go to a site and you don't expect a video to play, or a lot of times what happens for me is it's a video ad that will pop in. So I go to I'm a Houston sports fan. You know, it's where I grew up. So I go to cron.com to get my sports news. And then, you know, pretty regularly, and I'll leave it open for a minute or two, even when I leave it sometimes, then a video ad will start playing. And then that audio kind of takes over my computer. I like Facebook's autoplay where it's the video without the audio, where I can kind of get a preview of it. The annoying kind of pop-in video audio ads are really obnoxious. But what you and I both know is because that audio came in and it disrupted me, it got my attention. So if it was an ad that there was a little bit in it that I was going to be somewhat engaged in, I at least heard it, you know, and it got my attention. If it was a little banner ad to the side, I wouldn't have even noticed it. So I think it's almost a similar conversation as pop-ups. So pop-ups are like, most people would say pop-ups are from the devil, but if you're trying to get somebody's email address, pop-ups are very effective.
Oh my gosh.
So nobody's like, oh, I love pop-ups. I love it when I'm on a website with pop-ups. But as a marketer, we know pop-ups work. You know, Michael Hyatt, you know, is a guy I follow tremendously. And he was one of those guys that was like, I hate to admit it, I was anti-pop-ups forever. But once I added a pop-up to my site, my email list grew like five times as fast than when I had a little banner ad asking for people's email addresses. What are your thoughts on kind of that disruptive marketing?
Yeah,
it
does work regardless of what people say. I mean, every large influencer that I follow or engage with, if I sit on their site long enough, I'm going to get a pop-up, and I know why they built that list. I was just on, I've been listening to Tim Ferriss, the 4-Hour Workweek podcast, the last couple of weeks, just listening to different things. He's an interesting guy, but it's just kind of odd. But regardless, I was on his site and a pop-up came up, and it was like, it's so funny. I did the exact same thing where I was like on his site and I was listening to his podcast with his embed. By the way, he uses the same hosting provider, Libsyn, that we use.
There we go.
So made me feel a little bit, I know, a little plug for Libsyn. Shout out, give us a little credit for a couple months. And I popped off the site and I was working, and then all of a sudden I went back and there was a pop-up. So I definitely think we need to be wise. You know, we try not to use the full pop-up on our church site. We actually use the drop-down on the header at the top. So I know you can do full pop-up or you can do kind of like header beam, you know, will come down.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of what we tend to use for our stuff. So it's not as disruptive. Mm-hmm. I do know that worked. Our email list did grow as a church when we used that. But we try to avoid the full. I think what it is that there's some content that is just, you need to get engagement and you need that. And I think what you need to be careful with pop-ups or even video kind of autoplay ads is it stuff worth you disrupting someone's day? You know?
Yeah.
So as a church email list, most likely it is. Though the question is, are you using that wisely? And that's the other thing, you can disrupt someone's day, but is it really worth it? And I think that's where as a church, you can't do it all the time. If you do it all the time, then you become AOL and people ignore you and no longer go do. Except for my grandma. She's going strong in AOL. She does. And my AOL, jkskater14@AOL.com still exists.
AOL.com.
Yeah. Thank you, grandma. But you just need to be wise about it. You can't do it all the time. It's like your church can't be event driven, but you need a couple events a year. But you can't do an event every week because you're going to burn people out. The same thing with pop-ups. You can't do a pop-up all the time. You know, you can't do it for everything because it's going to be too disruptive. And we need to be wise about it. But, you know, I think this is a bigger conversation with kind of the rating and how people got, you know, kind of upset about the autoplay. I think it's interesting because Facebook has been super good at filtering out kind of the junk. Yeah. And I know there was even a conversation a year ago, 2 years ago about them even creating a fake news filter. Cause there was all those like rumors of people dying that ended up not being real. You know, a bunch of famous people died a couple times.
Yeah.
And they were going to make, you know, filters on like The Onion and different stuff like that. But like, you know, Facebook's been great at filtering out like porn. Like they've been great at making sure that that doesn't show up in your feed. You know, that stuff I just don't see on Facebook. On the vice versa, and we talked about this with Craig Gross from Triple X Church, and you can go on a previous episode to kind of hear that one. But, you know, he talks about how Instagram hasn't done a great job of that, that they haven't been able to filter out porn. And I think what, even though they're owned by Facebook, but you kind of have this like rating system of like I know Facebook will be listening to this autoplay and will somehow combat that. So I wonder if they'll create some kind of, you know, bot or something that will auto filter kind of what happens, or even like shooting or stuff like that, like somehow make it so maybe it doesn't. Cause I do think it is an issue that we don't want to become so filtered. Desensitized to this, like that video of the two people that are shot. I mean, there's two individuals, two people.
Yeah.
I mean, how terrible would it be if like a grandson or like a son or a friend or somebody or a grandparent saw that?
And, right.
You know what I mean? So I do think regardless, we can't control everything, but yeah. I do think it's a good conversation on saying like, what do we want the masses? Because regardless, what's happening on Facebook is being seen by everyone. Facebook is a culture former now. I mean, it, you know what I mean? So we just got to be aware of what's going on out there.
Yeah. I'm curious in your, you know, you and I both are constant tinkerers. You talked with Pastor Rick, you know, this weekend about Facebook's live feature. I'm curious what you learned from that, but have you seen I've yet to watch an actual live stream on Facebook. I've only watched like the replay
of
it on it. Do you know, does it autoplay on your newsfeed, or does it click on it? How does that work? Or what'd you learn, maybe even talking with Rick about it?
Yeah. So Rick was at our staff meeting, our weekly staff meeting, and he was sharing about, you know, the Facebook streaming stuff, which is so cool. But he was saying how he got, you know, directly contacted by Facebook to try out. And he was the only spiritual influencer asked to use it. And I was curious if part of the reason was because he hadn't used Periscope yet. You know, I was just thinking like, I wonder if that's a kind of a strategic move.
Yeah.
Obviously he has, you know, a huge amount of influence and his Facebook is huge. But it does autoplay, and he was just sharing how many hundreds of thousands, you know, one of the posts had reached 500,000 and then a million, you know, just instantly. And, you know, there's no doubt that that ability to reach on that platform is so huge, but it autoplayed. There's not a lot of filter. Obviously Facebook is controlling it with who is using it right now.
Sure.
But, you know, part of it, you know, and we were texting back and forth after I was hearing a little bit about how it works, but there's no doubt Facebook play numbers are totally inflated because of the newsfeed. You know, they're counting impressions on the newsfeed.
Right.
So, you know, it's like looking, if you've ever owned if you've ever had your own Facebook page on Facebook, you know that there's one on clicks and there's another on like views. And then there's the reach number. And then if you look at the number of how many people actually viewed the content on your page, it's like nothing.
Nothing.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Like if you have 1,000, you might have 3 people that actually went to your physical page. Everybody consumes it in the newsfeed. You know, and it's like, if you get a couple shares, it starts going. We had the podcast I did with Randy Kraft from Pete Wilson's church, Crosspoint. I couldn't remember that. I know. Thank you. I haven't downed enough of my coffee yet, but we had a couple people share that post on our Facebook page, on the social media church page, and it like the reach quadrupled. And I think with Facebook, you know, streaming, that is just going to go up and up and up. So have you had a positive experience on the replay? Has the replay been the same value for you as the live? I was just curious of that.
You know, yeah, I've definitely had value. I've enjoyed seeing it. You know, one of the values of Periscope though is you feel like you can interact with those folks, and yeah. you can see other people's interactions, so you kind of know why they're responding a certain way. For me, so far with Facebook, it feels like I'm basically just watching a video they recorded and put up there.
Yeah.
So it's not nearly as engaging yet as Periscope, but I'm optimistic that, you know, when you see the reach of these videos, it's just tremendous that it's only going to grow. But Periscope too, I mean, I'm just personally, I'm always tinkering. I felt like when I first got on Periscope, a ton of people would get on, then it kind of died out a little bit of the organic following. But I feel like now it's more actual followers that care about what I have to say, that I'm, you know, I'm having about 70 to 100 people log into each Periscope. And so it's pretty amazing just in just being somewhat consistent with a platform like that, what the kind of engagement you can get is. I will say with Periscope, I feel like I've gotten some bait and switch when I'm just kind of randomly poking around.
Yeah.
I literally, like, I'm kind of in the situation where I tell my wife, like, I want you next when I'm randomly going to Periscope, because you can easily click on the wrong thing and you don't really know what you're about to look at.
Yeah.
And so it's the world of social media, the world of the internet. I think we like things. So kind of circling back to our other conversation, I think we like things instant. I think things like autoplay are valuable for 99% of the content.
Yeah.
There's going to be that other 1%. That was a unique situation of Virginia. It was a tragic, terrible situation. I think we need filters that we can, you know, pause autoplay on certain content that we put out there. Overall, I think it's a lot of value though. And I find a ton of value in it. It's even more valuable because I don't have to listen to it. I could just kind of take a peek at it, get a better idea. Any final thoughts from you as we wrap up this episode?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you real quick, and I have something, but I was curious, what is your, what's one thing this past week that you've read or listened to that you would recommend that our listeners to check out? Maybe a podcast. We'll link it in the show, but what's one thing you've read or listened to this week that you would go boom? For me, I'll start off. It is Dilbert, a blog on writing. Actually, it was in the Tim Ferriss podcast. They were recommending Angel from AngelList.com. They said this individual post changed the way that he writes. And Tim Ferriss reads it, and the one guy even says, I keep it open every time I write. And I went and I found this post. And I read it, and it definitely made me want to rewrite everything I've ever written. And so we'll put that. It's like the Dilbert blog or something. We'll put that in the show notes. But that's something I read this past week that was kind of like, oh man, this is so well written, and this wants to make me a better writer. What's yours?
That's awesome. So for me, it was actually a sponsored ad on Facebook from Gary Vaynerchuk. The flashiness of the video caught me because it wasn't just Gary V talking initially, and it was an autoplay ad. And it was him talking about basically that nobody actually builds passive income. So there's kind of this entrepreneurial idea of build passive income, make money while you sleep, or make money while you're at the beach. And then I get it. I believe that there is some passive income, but he's like, quit dreaming of sitting at a beach and just work hard. And he communicates it in his own vulgar Gary V way. But he really... I think from a, you know, and you and I both run kind of, you know, entrepreneurial businesses on the side that, you know, I'm always kind of intrigued by entrepreneurs that have really been successful, especially in social media. And so how his idea of, you know, just hustle and work hard, and, you know, build income from hard work, and don't build income just so you can stop working. I thought it was a great video, you know? And so if you see that, if you search Gary V, be careful what you might find.
Yeah.
But that video about passive income, search it on YouTube and I'm sure you'll find it there. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.